Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and I have Anik here with me this week. So, Anik, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. So my name is Anik Malafon. I am in Atlantic Canada, and I am an empowerment coach. And what I do is I help soul-led leaders thrive in life and business without compromising themselves. And so that's a really exciting conversation for us to have, because when we get stuck in survival mode, we start to make decisions that really compromise our values, who we are, what our goals are. And I think this is such a powerful and purposeful conversation for us to be having, so that people can really identify where they're putting themselves on the back burner, where they're stuck in survival, so they can shift that gear and really take control of their lives. And so my goal in life is to bring more empowerment into the world. And so helping people break out of survival is where my gem is at. So that's me in a nutshell. Beyond the work that I do, I'm a wife, a mother of one incredibly spicy, cute little girl. I'm a beekeeper, I'm an avid gardener, and I'm a dedicated stargazer. I love all things universe, and I love watching the stars with my telescope. So that's kind of me in a little package, if you will.
Well, welcome, and thank you for the introduction and into you and what you do. So let's start with your journey out of survival mode and how that might have led into the work that you do now.
Yes. So my background is in corporate finance. So I worked on the stock market for over 15 years. By the age of 30, I was a branch manager of a multi-million dollar firm. I had checked off all of the I'll be happy when boxes. And what I realized was there was this growing sense of unnamed dread that I kept facing, and I couldn't pinpoint what it was. And what I had from this point of reference, when I look back, I realized that I wasn't thriving. I was really just surviving. I was in the equation of first you get a job, then you make money, then you get happy. And I kept waiting for the outcome. And I would have, of course, moments of satisfaction and happiness, but they were very fleeting. And so what I discovered is I was on this treadmill that so many of us get caught on. And really, that's the survival mechanism, right? Okay, well, it's going to be that happiness and that peace and that harmony. It has to be after this next rung on the ladder, or this next goal, or once I find my person, or once I have this in life, or once my debt is paid. So what what we do is we create a condition on our happiness, on our peace, on our welfare. And I was caught in that hamster wheel and really had the mindset that, well, I went to school for this. I've got all of these licenses that allow me to do the work that I do. And I loved my clients. I was good at my job. I was thriving in my career, but there was just something missing. And when I look back now, I realize is that I had misunderstood and I didn't have the proper model to discern between what someone who's thriving really looks like and somebody who's just successful in their career. Because I was successful, but I was just surviving because emotionally I was bankrupt. And so within that emotional bankruptcy, I was just kind of chasing that high of happiness. And I got to a certain point, and I remember this day so clearly. I woke up one morning and this elephant of dread was sitting on my chest. And I asked out loud, and I was living by myself at this time for no apparent reason, there's got to be more to life than this. And that is such a powerful question for anybody to ask, because as soon as I asked that question, the universe started to show me all of the possibility, because I was finally open to the idea that there was something more to life than what I had been living. And so from that point, everything changed. And what I realized was I was following my instinct, which is really survival based, instead of following my intuition, which is soul led and soul guided. And so that's why I love to teach intuitive discernment so that my clients and the people in the world can finally learn and know what it feels like to deeply trust themselves, to be able to overcome that fear of making the wrong decisions, and to lean into that intuition and actually develop that as a measurable skill, whether in life or in business. And so that's really where my journey into intuitive development began, was me learning to follow my own intuition, creating that discernment between following my instincts that kept me trapped in that survival mechanism, and begin to learn to follow my intuition, which led me to the life where I learned how to thrive emotionally, thrive physically, thrive financially, and to meet my soulmate, to have a beautiful child, to have a happy home where I'm not chasing happiness, but I'm embodying it. So it's such a different reality. But what's really interesting is I still get up on the same right side of the bed, but everything else in my life has changed very drastically. The lens through which I see life has changed. And I think that's the biggest thing is we tend to think, in order for me to get out of this situation that feels like a trap, I have to change all this stuff. But I want to assure people that is not the case. When we make measurable change and specific changes, you can create a big difference in your life and still find yourself driving the same car or going to the same job or being in the same relationship. But the way for which you live that life has drastically shifted. And that's where the biggest change happens, is really from within. So that's kind of how I went from working on the stock market to supporting people and cultivating the energy of curiosity, the energy of self-trust, and the energy empowerment, and allow that to lead their lives instead of scarcity and fear, which tends to be, the gas for which we fill our engines so often.
Absolutely. And I love what you said here, right? I've talked about, I call it the conveyor belt of success, right? You get good grades, you get a good job, you excel in your career, and then if you're lucky, you retire and you're happy. That is the myth that we are sold, that so many of us prescribe to without realizing that there are options.
Exactly.
And I love having conversations with people who end up in survival mode as a result of their career, because a lot of people think that survival mode is associated with big T trauma. And while it does get us there, it's the small T trauma that most people are that guide most people into
Mm-hmm.
survival mode without them recognizing it. I loved what you said about your intuition. So many of us struggle with trusting our decisions when we see the result of our past decisions not necessarily aligning with what we view to be ideal. What do you think is the first step in being able to trust your intuition and your decisions again?
For me, and I teach this, so I love this question. So let's get into it. The first thing is discerning that you have two sets of data. So here's a first is a theory. I want to share the theory behind it. And I find this really helps people to step in the right direction. You think of it as you have two sets of data coming into your mind and body and your energy. And one set of data is your intuition, and the other set of data is your instinct. And when those two are in sync, you're good. Things line up. When those two sets of data are in conflict or in opposition, that's when we get into trouble. Because what happens is we misinterpret our instinct for our intuition. And I'll often hear, well, you know, I trusted my heart and look where I ended up. I was like, was that your intuition or was that your instinct? Because your instinct will lean you into the survival mode. And your intuition will guide you to something better. And so, a lot of the times, we get mixed signals on, well, what data set are we working from? Because we have like our gut feeling and then following our heart. And there's so many different terms and interpretations of what this is. That's why I like to start with creating clear discernment between this is two very distinct sets of data. And so the first thing I usually work with my people is think of something positive and loving and that feeling you get when you reach your dream. So that will tune you into the energy of your intuition because it's a very soft, uplifting, guiding, supportive energy. And then I was like, now think about your worst fear. That's going to show you what your instinct feels like versus your intuition. And what I would recommend for people, so now that you have kind of an idea of the difference between the two, because a lot of people will use these terms interchangeably. And I think that's our first problem is you're like, oh, whatever, intuition, instinct. I'm like, no, they're actually very, very different. And knowing the difference is how we develop intuitive discernment. And so that's an inside job, right? Because I can't tell you, well, this is what your instinct looks like and feels like, and this is what your intuition looks and feels like. I can guide you, I can support you, I can tune into your energy and be the messenger of that. But the goal is for you to be able to listen and discern from a moment to moment basis, because that's when the big decisions in your life are happening on a Tuesday afternoon when you're deciding to do A or B. The second part, or I want to say step two of being able to develop intuitive discernment is practice on the stuff that doesn't matter what the outcome is, right? So if you're like, what do I want for supper? Do I want to do Asian or do I want to do Italian? It's like, okay, well, see what your instinct shows you and see what your intuition shows you. Because, you know, the worst thing that'll happen is you'll have bad pasta. Like, it's not the end of the world. And so practice on the little stuff. And then build your way up to developing that muscle to then make the bigger decisions where the outcome does matter. And when we start with that, think of it as like any other muscle that you're building, right? Like the more you practice it, the more you check in with yourself, which a lot of us don't do. We're like, oh, I just feel like I have to do this. And so we let whatever energy is the most prominent in the moment guide us forward, but we don't create distinction between is this my intuition or is this my instinct? We're just like, oh, I just feel like. And we're either being led by our instinct or we're being led by our intuition. And then we find out after the fact, you know, what the outcome is. So I would say, like, to pause and to really take that moment to discern and going, all right, is this my fear driving me to stay on the survival treadmill? Or is this my intuition inviting me to stretch my capacity? And so just by taking that moment to ask those questions, you're building that muscle. So I would really say start with something small. One of the tools that I love, and I have like a free like a giveaway kind of thing. It's a video with a worksheet if people want to use it. It's muscle testing. And I call it your inner compass, because each and every one of us, it's a applied kinesiology. Everyone has a body. Everyone has a body that has certain feelings and responses. And I call it my BS meter. And for me, it's like when I say something out loud, I know when I'm full of it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so full of it right now. Like I hear myself talking and I like could not be more full of it. Everyone has that capacity to pick that up. So that's one of the tools that I use a lot with my clients is muscle testing, because that really helps them to take the tool and to play with it on a daily basis, because that's when practice makes progress when it comes to this.
I loved your distinction between intuition and instinct because I think, as you said, that's very key. A lot of us will confuse the two simply because of the experiences that we had. Like, speaking for myself, having compounded trauma, having been in survival mode for over 2 decades at one point, I would have always leaned on my instincts because that's all I knew and heard, right? I didn't trust my decisions. I didn't trust my inside voice that would lead me softly. I didn't trust it. So a lot of my actions were instinct layered, and it wasn't until I started being able to surrender to that inside, that softness that was completely opposite of how I lived my life. It's kind of like, in my opinion, the difference, almost the difference between masculine and feminine energy, whereas feminine energy is more leaning back and trusting, whereas the masculine is going and seeking. I think, I don't know if I'm accurate with that parallel, but that's what came up for me as you were talking. Just being able to, I didn't know how to lean back and trust. I always had to have the bull by its horns, the bull by its horns. I always had to
The
be,
bull by its horns,
yes,
yeah.
I always had to be leading because I felt like that was my ability, that was my only ability to control what was going on around me. And personally, leaning back and trusting has given me the opportunity to see life in a different way, to experience life in a different way. And then it allowed me to start trusting myself and trusting that I could make the right decisions for myself, at any given time and moment.
I would say that that's a fair generalization, because the intuition is something that you really need to allow yourself to receive. And so that it can be a generalization. I mean, there's always those moments where your ego is going to be like, this is your intuition speaking. You should really do this. Like once you start to work, do the inner work, the ego or the fear mind starts to get more clever, you know, about how it approaches you. It'll be like, no, this is a loving and soft reminder to go this way. And you're like, yes, I think it can be a wolf in sheep's clothing sometimes too, but I think generally speaking, the energy of allowing and receiving, which is a very divine feminine energy, is deeply tied in into intuition. So I would certainly agree with that generalization.
Okay. If that makes sense, because like I don't want to be talking just off the top of my head, but I mean, as you were describing that, that's what came up for me. And for people who have been in survival mode for quite a long time, oftentimes they don't even realize that I speak about three phases that we have to go through in order to exit. The first one is self-awareness. The second one is reprogramming. And the third one is reinvention. And while you mentioned that, leaning into our intuition and being able to trust the decisions that we make doesn't necessarily change everything about us, it does facilitate a change that in a change in the way that we show up, in the way that we are present oftentimes, right? Because if we are leading from our instinct, which is fear-based, which is really rooted in keeping us safe subconsciously, we tend not to do too much more than what we've done, or we won't stray from that conveyor belt too much because we will follow what we know. And I think the beauty in our intuition is guiding us into bigger opportunities, right? Being able to see beyond the conveyor belt, be able to trust that our dreams, even though they aren't aligned with that conveyor belt, can come true, right? Because I think oftentimes when we are rooted in the instinct, which is then that big then becomes our comfort zone, we don't see new things as exciting. They come across as challenges, as something to be scared of, because subconsciously we want to stay in this safe space that we know we don't probably don't like, but it's all we know.
Absolutely. And I love that. And to echo what you shared, I think I really want to highlight what you said, because it's like you said earlier, it was you're safe from a subconscious perspective. And I think that's a myth that, since we're busting myths today, let's pick on this one, is there is this misunderstanding or a myth that your intuition is not as, what's the right word? It values your safety as deeply as your subconscious programs. And so we tend to think, oh, well, I'm going to take the fear is trying to keep me safe, but my intuition is trying to make me stretch. Your soul is just as invested in keeping you safe than your fear is. So I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is, if I move off of this treadmill that I've been on, it's unfamiliar, it's unknown, and it's unsafe. That's the automatic assumption from the subconscious. So I love that you share that, because it really speaks to how we get stuck on there in a really big way. And the longer you're on it, the more unfamiliar, uncertain, and unknown everything that's off of that bubble or outside of that bubble is, and the less adapted we are to change. So we see this on a scientific level. The less you change, the more challenging it is for your mind's neuroplasticity to adapt to change. The more you change, the more your neuroplasticity in your brain, where you can create new neuron pathways, new ways of thinking, seeing new opportunities, the more that muscle is well developed. So now you're still moving in your path, but the treadmill is it's an open field, right? Because you're still moving forward, but you're not stuck on this little laneway. And something that you shared too, that really spoke it to me, was, like, we get stuck in the cycle because we don't know anything other than what we've seen. And that's so very true. One of the energies that I would invite people to play with, and it's a really simple thing for people to do at home, is play the what if game. What if I succeeded? What if it turned out great? What if there was something more for me? And when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I was in an abusive relationship. And I remember being in that situation thinking, well, I'll never find somebody better. Or, like, I guess this is all, that's available to me. I'll never, like, who am I to think that I deserve more? And having broken out of that survival treadmill, because, it had reached a pivotal point where I was like, all right, now it's really threatening my safety to stay in this familiar experience. And I hope that nobody has to get to that breaking point before they get off that treadmill of survival. That's when it really shifted for me, and being like, and I think that's where, unfortunately, a lot of us, we, it's not until the survival mechanism that we've gotten stuck on starts to create a lack of safety that will allow ourselves to break free from it. And so, something that I would really invite people to do is, for the love of God, don't wait till you hit your rock bottom to start looking outside of what you already know. Because if I know one thing for a fact, is you're worthy, you're deserving, you're capable, and you've gotten through so much. Getting through the good stuff, that's not a challenge to be overcome. The biggest element of overcoming is the receiving, the allowing, and the trusting of yourself. That's where the work is at. And that's one of the big elements that I work with my clients, is doing that inner work, to reclaiming self-trust, to reclaiming self-value. Because if you don't trust yourself, you're not going to get off the treadmill. It's really, that's where it ends, right?
I agree with you 100%. And as someone who has survived teenage domestic abuse myself, one of the reasons why this podcast is really important to me is because I want people to get it before they reach rock bottom. Like, as I say a lot of times, that self-awareness is key. And oftentimes, people don't even recognize that they're stuck in survival mode. So, my hope is hearing these stories, hearing how people have been able to take radical ownership of their lives and make massive changes as a result will be hope and inspiration to those who actually don't even recognize in this moment that it is impacting their lives and it's keeping them stuck. So I'm really glad that you shared that element with us. So I've really enjoyed this conversation. And so tell us how we can connect with you online. I would definitely put that muscle exercise in the show notes, but tell us how we can connect with you online so our listeners can connect.
I'm pretty much everywhere at Mastering Ascension. So, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, you can find me under Mastering Ascension, which is my company name, or Annick Malenfant. So that one's a little harder to spell. Mastering Ascension is kind of the easier way to find me. And I'll be sure to share that free tool, which is, it's called the Inner Compass, so they know what they're looking for. And it's an older video, but it's, I've never re-recorded it because it's an oldie, but it's a goodie, kind of like some disco, if you will. So we've been using that tool for a number of years. And what's really fun with it is the worksheet that goes with it, because it gives you a starting point to actually start building that muscle, creating a baseline, and developing that capacity. So I'll be sure to share my links with you so they have them for the show notes. And I'd love for them to grab that tool, because my purpose is to bring more empowerment into the world. And I feel that if you learn to be able to trust your inner knowing and develop that intuitive discernment, that is the path that I love to lead people in doing it. And I've seen people create such beautiful, like, realities. So if you're in a domestic relationship, or if you feel like you need to go back to school to get a university degree so that you can break that glass ceiling of what you're making for income, or if you're a single parent, or if you're highly successful and you're still not happy, I want you to know that it doesn't matter how many zeros are in your bank account, or what your relationship status is, or what your current circumstances are, because I've worked with people from all backgrounds. A better life is waiting for you to claim it.
I agree, Anik. A better life is awaiting. So, before we wrap it all up, one last piece of a takeaway for the audience to action from this episode.
What I would invite them to do is consider the idea of what it would feel like to surrender to joy.
That was
I know
the
that sounds so simple, but it can feel really scary because you can't be in a state of joy when you're in a state of fear. And so just even playing with that idea and getting curious about it, that cracks you open a little bit to take those first steps.
And I think that is a fair assessment because, we don't, again, it goes back to that self-awareness. We don't know, we can't change what we aren't aware of. We don't know what we don't know. So if we can lean into joy when we've leaned into fear for so long, that is a change that will open up opportunity for us in a massive way. And Nick, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Listeners, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.